Yeah, end of April into May is a very busy time for us. We are doing a lot of preparations, putting grinder pumps in for businesses that we had taken out for the fall. We're doing a lot of water turn-ons, making sure there's no leaks, just helping people get set for their summer. That's probably, I would ask for patience, I think, from the community. Give us a call. Give us 48 hours. When you're coming into town, let us know. We'll mark you on the calendar and meet out at your house. That's greatly appreciated.
Thank you, and welcome to A Fresh Air, Inspired Life. Today's guest has found a way to stay in the harbor for the last 3 years, and we are so lucky to have him because he took over the maintenance supervisor position just as it vacated a year and a half ago. Please welcome the always helpful, ruggedly handsome Truman Jones. Hey, Truman.
Hey, Amanda. It's good to be here.
Oh, nice. So what intrigued you about Copper Harbor enough to move here?
Originally, it was kind of a almost post-COVID move for my partner, Kay, and I. She had spent many years here since, I think, a baby. Her dad worked here in the 70s and 80s at Mary Jo's Bakery, Mary and Tom. They were extremely influential in Kay's father's life. And so that inevitably brought us up here. Yeah, she wanted to do a Copper Harbor summer, get out of Marquette. And yeah, we wound up in the harbor. We wound up staying a little longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, awesome. So you followed your lady here. That's so cool. Wow, great. How would you describe what it takes to be able to stay in the harbor when you sort of take a chance and make a move like that?
It takes a lot of perseverance on your part, on the part of the person trying to stay. Mm-hmm. It can be difficult to stay here, as many people know. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of housing. I think the biggest thing that allowed us to stay was the kindness of other people. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big one. Opening up their place, the Chamberlains opened up their place to us.
Nice.
And that was just world-changing as far as the harbor is concerned. And we are greatly appreciative of that. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Perseverance, that's key. I think anyone who's made it up here so far knows that. Yeah. So thank you. So when you heard of the maintenance supervisor position opening up, what prompted you to apply?
I was working at the bakery at Jamson's, and Alex and Kay both were encouraging me to apply.
Oh.
They were both very encouraging, and thought I might be a good fit. And so that's how I ended up. I think there were maybe only a few days left to apply, and they had already done some interviews, and I just decided to do it. Yeah. And
nice.
Had a great interview with Kirk and Scott, and started like that next week.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we're glad that you got to take that on. I think it's really important for people who are perseverant to stay in the area that they can have a full-time study job like that, because there's not that many available.
No, there aren't. And I think the other thing that besides perseverance is you have to be okay with working really hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think you have to be okay with doing a lot of different things and putting in the hours. That's definitely part of being in the harbor. I think everybody works a ton of different jobs. Mm-hmm. Everybody's always busy, especially in the summer, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't Just, yeah, almost just work 24/7. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, as the harbor turns, we're making it turn, that's for sure.
Yes.
So for anyone who doesn't know, with this position you're in, I think you're on call pretty much all the time in case of emergencies, is that correct?
Yes, that's, it's a 24/7, 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the first guy anybody calls, mm-hmm. As the supervisor there, which is fine. With our maintenance program that we've been implementing, that I took on from Kirk and Jeff, it's been making it a lot easier. We've had a lot less calls.
Oh, nice.
Because we're really keeping up on maintenance.
Mm.
Yes.
So that preventative maintenance kind of.
It's key.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise that could kind of interfere with your life.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean... somebody's grinder pump starts going, you're like, oh god, I'm in the middle of making supper, or yes, I'm on a date or whatever,
yes,
with your lady. Oh man. Well, but you're making it work, and it's going all right.
It is good. Yeah, it's going very well. I'm enjoying it immensely. Sweet. There's always different things to do.
Yeah,
every day, so
yeah, I bet. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of this operation. When someone visits Copper Harbor and stays in their hotel or eats in a restaurant, can you describe the process of what happens with that water when they flush or wash their hands and the water goes down the drain?
Sure. Yeah. I guess I'd start at our aquifer.
Mm.
That's probably where I'd start. We have an aquifer up the hill across from the cemetery. Mm-hmm. We have 6 wells.
All right. Yep.
6 wells placed in that aquifer, and they pump water up to a tank that's further up a hill. And it's gravity fed down to the harbor. So when they turn that faucet on, that water comes from that aquifer up into the tank, down the hill, is treated, and arrives in the tap ready to drink or use or whatever they're doing with it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it goes down the drain, where does it go?
Yeah. The fun part. then we're entering the wastewater side. So... Mm. Every business and home in the Platte of Copper Harbor is connected to the low pressure sewer system.
Mm.
Each residence and business has at least one grinder pump unit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a large hole with a grinder can, holds a couple hundred gallons, maybe 150 gallons of water, and there's a hole pumping system set inside there, and so that will shred and pump any liquids through the system up the road out towards the fort, out to our sewer plant.
Mm.
Yeah, to be treated and then returned to the lake.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's treated and returned to the lake, and mm-hmm. then the water that we use comes up from the wells at that aquifer up the hill.
Correct. They are separate. There's there is no infiltration from the lake into our aquifer.
Okay. And mm-hmm. you guys regulate that with testing and things like that to make sure everything is neutral and safe. And
yes. Yeah. We test at the beginning, before treatment.
Mm-hmm.
We test, that's called the entry point treatment. Mm-hmm. We test after treatment, and the distribution system. So there's several sites that we do regular testing. And then when we are discharging from the lagoons into the lake, there's very regular testing that goes on there.
I bet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To make sure that it's clean water. And we love doing tours.
Oh, cool.
Of both plants. So if you're interested, please just stop in. We'll do a tour. It's a pretty awesome process.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never done a tour. That would probably help me out too.
Oh, you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's schedule a tour, a group tour. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That'd be fun to get some of the locals. Like, oh, this is what happens. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. If anybody is interested at all, if anybody has worries about what's going into the lake, come take a look at the water that we're putting in the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's clear.
Yeah. I would say that is a legitimate concern for people. And I appreciate you really being really honest and clear about, you know, what's happening there. So
it's so cool. It's an awesome process.
Yeah, because you love the lake and you feel good about what you're doing and you know it's everything's going good.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. Now that we understand all that, can you shed some light on how the water usage changes overall in the winter compared to the height of the tourist season in the summer?
Yeah, absolutely. We are still a small system, so our numbers that we get, even at the height, like in August, I'd say, that's probably where we see the most influent. Influent means whatever's coming into the wastewater plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, it
influent.
Is. Influent and effluent, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there are huge differences. So we have a flow-through system in our lagoons. So in the summer only, when the weather is above 41 degrees, it's a very specific number,
Okay. We
can discharge if our tests look good. So once we open up the lagoons, they're open until the fall. Crack them open in the spring, then we're discharging constantly. And the only time we would stop that in the spring or summer is if our numbers get out of line.
Mm.
So if we start getting any coliform that comes back in our effluent, we shut it down, we treat, we analyze, and then we start again when the numbers look good.
Wow, cool. Do you think this system is currently sustainable for years to come, or are there any foreseeable improvements in the future?
There are definitely improvements coming down the line.
Okay.
Besides like the constant upgrading of the system that's aging, there have been many talks about getting a third lagoon, which is a really good idea for capacity purposes, or if we have another incident, like a lagoon liner breaking, then we have two lagoons to use. There are studies that OHM has done on the lagoon's capacity, and we may see a new lagoon here in the next 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think they've been talking about that for years now, getting number three out there.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
maybe we'll actually get that.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And there's enough room out there on that property to put the third one in?
They are going to lease another section of land.
Okay.
Yes, to the west.
Okay, so still kind of connected to that same area. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. Are there any tips you want to offer our listener, whether they're a visitor or a year-round resident, to ensure smooth operations?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a business, please clean that grease trap out. Get that thing. Do it. Try to do it, three times a year if you can.
Mm.
More if not. I know the volume out here is crazy, and it does cost a lot to have those pumped out, but that helps us tremendously.
Mm.
Yeah, the fog, as it's known in the wastewater world, the fat oils and grease really are a problem for every municipality.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one way we combat that is a spring clean out that Kirk Filsinger, the person I took over for, started implementing the year before I started. So every business that we have grease problems at currently, we haul out their grinder pumps before they open, get them cleaned out. We have a gym septic come out and get it all cleaned up.
Okay.
Suck out the tanks, and it's pretty amazing how much grease gets inside those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so there is another entity that can take some of that out before it makes its way through the system.
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, yeah. Because the more grease that's in a can, the less fluid capacity they have.
Sure.
And the more prone they are to flooding and blockages. So, yeah. Yeah, it's helped a lot.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. And any tips for our visitors?
Visitor tips? Don't flush anything you wouldn't flush down your own toilet.
Oh, sure. You never know where people live, I guess, but bless them all.
Yeah, yeah. The grinders, and I'm using air quotes right now around the word grinder, they're only made to grind toilet paper and regular things that go down the toilet, not plastics, no rags, no wipes. We've had some wipes incidences before.
Wow.
And there's actually a huge lawsuit going on right now.
Wow.
For several wipe companies that are involved. And they're just, there's like a couple hundred municipalities taking part in this lawsuit. And all they want is the companies to remove the labeling that says they're flushable.
Flushable.
So
no wipe is flushable, obviously.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
I'm
interested to see if any of those companies listen.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. That'd be great for every municipality.
It would be.
Trying to get people water and keep it clean.
Yes.
Man. Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. So I know you just visited Italy in Malta.
Yes.
And Malta is just south of Italy, a little island down there for anyone who doesn't know. Now, that amazing photographer girlfriend of yours showed me some awesome pictures, and the irrigation kind of aquifer water drainage situation in Malta is like chiseled right into the limestone, if I'm assessing that correctly. What thoughts went through your mind when you witnessed like an ancient water system?
It was pretty incredible to see. I always geek out about, you know, that's like those, what are they called? The aqueducts.
Aqueducts.
Yeah, they're small aqueducts.
Yeah.
To see those in use is just incredible, because that type of aqueduct allowed for really the first set of humans being able to farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was pretty amazing to see those still in operation.
Mm. Yeah. Wow, yeah. They were still out in operation. That is so cool.
Yeah. Another kind of funny thing that we noticed in a town called Cefalù, beautiful city. There was, we walked by a cliffside. We were maybe 300 feet up above a cliff, walking along a sidewalk, and we looked down and we noticed that there was a wastewater plant on the side of this cliff. And the guys and I always joke about having the most beautiful view of any wastewater plant on the banks of Lake Superior.
Uh-huh.
We get to look at the lake every day. But these guys are perched up on a cliff and they get to look at this Tyrrhenian Sea every day. So.
Oh, wow. So you felt like you got beat out on the best
view
in the world?
Yeah, I think now we have the second best view in the world. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Oh, man. Anything else you want to say about that trip?
I would say if you go, stay out of the main tourist points.
Mm.
It's always busy there. Mm. You have to get tickets months in advance. Go visit some of the smaller towns in these places. Italy, Sicily, and Malta are just, it's incredible how many ancient and historical sites you can visit just walking around.
Mm.
There are things everywhere to see, and they're just as good as the main attractions.
Sure.
So, yeah, if you want a little bit of a quieter time, definitely go to the smaller towns.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great advice. And that could be maybe great advice for anywhere someone's going.
Yes.
I mean, people who come to Copper Harbor aren't coming here. They're coming here to be outside, usually, you know, so they might appreciate that. Thanks.
Yes.
Nice. So one other thing I find intriguing about you is your love for fermenting foods for probiotics. So how has this hobby enriched the quality of your life and health?
I guess this is going to sound a little cliche, but it was a... It was a COVID hobby.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if YouTube, just the algorithm, was excited to promote fermentation. But it got me hooked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I started doing sauerkraut and fermenting salsas and doing kombucha and things like that during COVID. And I've gotten away from it a little bit, but I'm hoping to start doing a lot of pickling this summer. Eggs. It's a big UP thing.
Totally.
I absolutely love the pickled egg. Shout out Mohawk Superette.
Ah.
The best pickled eggs in the Keweenaw.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so, how do you feel like that has helped? Do you feel a difference in your own health when you digest those probiotic foods?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's a great snack alternative instead of reaching for a, bag of chips, which I love. you can reach for something else crunchy, some pickled veggies. Miranda and Art just gave me a jar of pickled veggies last night, and it's already gone.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That is a great snack.
It is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I definitely feel better. Sauerkraut, eat it with every meal. Throw it in a pan in the morning, cook it up, put some eggs on top of it, some onions. Yeah, it's a very versatile treat.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you have a spot in the community garden so you can kind of grow some of your own vegetables.
Yes, lots of
Yeah.
beans this year.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna ask Ronnie for her bean pickling recipe.
Oh,
Yeah.
nice.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you in the garden too.
Yeah.
What else do you like to do here for fun?
I love being outside, hiking, canoeing, like every chance I get. Kay and I do a ton of hiking together. I really have a passion for the flora and fauna both here. The amount of insects and birds and just the vast amount of wildlife we see, and the different types of animals, different types of insects that we see on a day-to-day basis is incredible. It's extremely diverse here. And it's really, really fun to go out and see everything. Yeah, to be quiet in the woods and observe and see what's going on.
Yeah, good for you for appreciating that. That's awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listener about anything in the world?
You asked me this at the beginning, and I've had a little time to think, and I want to shout out our smaller members on the food chain. I want to, shout out the insects. The mosquitoes and the black flies get a lot of hate. Not a lot of people appreciate them, but they're the basis of what makes Copper Harbor so diversified. If they weren't here to be eaten by anything that eats them, birds, amphibians, larger insects, there wouldn't be as many animals here. So I appreciate them. And a shout out for everybody else. Don't rake up your leaves so much, Maybe leave your leaves alone. Let the insects, have a little habitat. Maybe just one square yard, Leave a patch. Let's see some lightning bugs or something like that. Yeah. Let your grass grow up a little longer. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where all those little critters live.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very important.
They are. Oh, that's a really great perspective to bring to people's minds. Thank you for sharing that. Oh. Well, thanks so much for speaking with us today. Till next time, be mindful of the water you use and be good to yourself. Ba 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 da 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 ba ba da ba do da da ba ba da.